first century. And so they would say when the Christians in Jerusalem were, what's that word I'm looking for? The diaspora, when they were dispersed from Jerusalem, that they actually were spread throughout the earth to proclaim the gospel.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching history of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for just for the first half of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the 144th Jewish evangelists.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started. We're continuing on in the tribulation, and as we've been dealing with the tribulation, last week we dealt with the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And so today we are going to look at the 144,000 witnesses, or as I will call them, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And I'll go into a lot more detail as we go through the lesson this afternoon. Now, again, keep in mind that what we are dealing with is the wrath of the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. So God is pouring out his judgment upon the earth. And we see in the midst of him pouring out his judgment upon the earth that God is still merciful. God is still gracious. In the fact that he allows now, and this is amazing, because people accuse God of being a monster and mean, things of that nature, but God is going to allow two witnesses, and as we talked about last week, you know, I believe that it's Elijah and Enoch, but you know, that's I'm not going to go to war over that. I'm just going to say that that's the way I have interpreted. But you know, there are other legitimate interpretations. So we did look at those last week. So there's two witnesses that he leaves to evangelize, and then this week we see that he leaves 144,000 to evangelize the earth and get the good news out to people who I believe haven't heard the gospel or haven't had a clear presentation of the gospel. And then we see that, and we'll look at this one a little bit next. We're going to take a break after this week. But when we come back, we will look at the angel that proclaims the everlasting gospel. So, you know, God has left three areas of witness on the earth during the tribulation. Now we looked at, remember now, we looked at the seven seals, we looked at the seven trumpets, and we looked at the seven bowls. And we saw that that is a time of unparalleled wrath upon this earth. And so in the midst of that, you know, just go back and think about some of the things that we talked about, rivers being turned to blood, darkness, plagues on people, scorching heat, all those things we talked about. And in the midst of all of that, God will continue to leave witnesses to proclaim his name. So we're going to look at these 144,000 witnesses. Now, when we look at the book of Revelation, they come in two passages. They come in Revelation 7:1-8, and then Revelation 14. And I have 1-5 here, but as I was reading, pretty much we could go through that whole chapter and talk about these Jewish evangelists. All right. Now, as always, saints, you know, I'm going to start you off with interpretations, and then I'm going to give you my interpretation, which I believe is the right interpretation. That's a matter of my opinion. You know, you talk to somebody else and they will tell you something different. But historically, these 144,000 have been identified in three areas. Some people say that these 144,000 are symbolic, and you know, they are symbolic of the church, which is on the earth to witness to the Lord. But I would take issue with this particular viewpoint, because we already seen that the church has been raptured out. So the church is not going to be left here to witness. And I believe that's why there's going to be 144,000. Now there's the preterist view. And those of you who have been with me for a long time, you know, I've talked about the preterist view over and over again. And this view basically says that everything that we read in Revelation was mostly fulfilled in the first century. That when the first century, when we saw Jerusalem captured and torn down, that everything at that time. So basically this says that the events of Revelation have already happened. They've already been fulfilled in the first century. And so they would say when the Christians in Jerusalem were, what's that word I'm looking for? The diaspora, when they were dispersed from Jerusalem, that they actually were spread throughout the earth to proclaim the gospel. And so again, they would say that 144,000 would be those who were dispersed from Jerusalem, and now they're carrying the gospel throughout the whole world. And you may remember in the book of James, where James wrote unto the 12 tribes, where he said the, let me find it here. James said to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, okay? So he would say that those 12 tribes, those 144,000, not James, but this view, would say that this is the 144,000 spoken of in the book of Revelation. Now, I would hold to the futurist view, which basically says that these are Jewish believers who come out of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe, and they will be sealed to witness during the tribulation. So I would say that these are who the 144,000 are. Now, there's a phrase, and I'm getting ready to show you here in a second. There's a phrase in describing these 144,000. And it says, as soon as I can get my, okay. It says that these are they who have not defiled themselves with women, or these are they who are not defiled with women. And that is in Revelation 14, I believe, that they have not defiled. Okay. Yep. Revelation 14, 4. Okay. So now based on this, now I already showed you the preceding views as to who people say that these 144,000 are. Now, based on this, some have further tried to define who these 144,000 are. Some say that they are priests and monks, based on the fact that they abstain from sex, is how they would interpret Revelation 14:4. Some have said that this is a select group of priests and monks who will witness during this time. Some take that phrase and say that they are the spiritually pure. Their abstinence from sex is an avoidance of spiritual fornication, and they are undefiled saints. So some would say that this is the 144,000. Some would just say these are faithful saints. They represent a group of individuals who remain faithful during the tribulation. All right. And then you got your good friends. I call them the Jehovah's false witnesses. And they believe that these 144,000 are Jehovah's witnesses. So based on this phrase right here, these are they who are not defiled with women, there have been further interpretations as to who these 144,000 are. So again, I'm going to go back to what I believe, and what I believe this passage is talking about, and what we will look at this afternoon is that these are Jewish believers who come from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe, who will be sealed to witness during the tribulation. So that would be my viewpoint as to who these individuals are that we are getting ready to discuss. Okay, first of all, we see in Revelation 7 that these individuals are sealed. Notice in verse 1 of Revelation 7, if you have your Bibles and want to look there, it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that they should not blow on any of the earth, nor any of the sea, nor any of the trees. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal. Okay, the seal. Now remember, the Antichrist had his seal, right? You know, some people believe that it's 666, whatever the case might be, but he had his seal. Well, God has a seal too. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And then in Revelation chapter 14, in verse 1, we get even a little further description. He says, I look and a lamb on Mount Zion, and with 144,000 having the Father's name written in their foreheads. Having the Father's name written in their foreheads. So as we look at this passage in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it just says that they had the seal of God in their foreheads. And then in Revelation 14, 1, it says they had the Father's seal in their forehead. So let's look at this idea of a seal. This is powerful, saints. Oh my goodness. Whew, I wish I could preach this thing today, right? In biblical times, masters would seal their servants in their head or somewhere else, you know, on their leg or on their hand, but they would seal them. This stood, look at this, for ownership and protection. For ownership and protection. For ownership and protection. That these individuals, in the midst of all this devastation that's taking place on the earth, that these individuals are sealed, and this seal stood for ownership and protection. First of all, the seal meant that they are owned by God. Amen. I love it. I love it. That they are owned by God. What does the Bible say about us? What does the Bible say about you? It says that you are sealed until the day of redemption. And you are sealed with what? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. So that lets us know that we are sealed by God, that we are owned by God. And not only since we are sealed by God, but we are protected by God, right? You know, you ever see those stickers that people put in their windows or on their or door window, or they put a sign out in their yard that that this property is protected by, you know, whatever the name of that company is. And generally that company, the reason that, what's the reason that they put that out there in the yard or put that sticker? Because they usually have a good reputation, right? And they usually, now I'm not gonna say it's 100% proof. Now I'm not gonna say that, right? No, I'm not gonna say that. But generally companies that do that have a pretty good reputation. And it meant that we are protecting this property. So you better pass on. Right. You better not hang around here. You better not try to get in. You know, I was, we got this thing today, especially during Christmas, right, with these people called porch pirates. They say you got to watch your gifts or your boxes that you get from Amazon or from UPS, because people will try to take your, what you know, whatever it is that you got. So, you know, they ran this thing on the news the other day where the lady who delivered the package took a picture of the package sitting on the stoop of the owner. And then you know what that lady had the nerve to do? That's right. You guessed it, right? She took the package and put it back in her car and drove off, right? And so there's all type of thefts going on today. And then they started showing these devices that you can buy, cameras and other things that If anybody comes up to your stoop, it takes a picture of them. And some of them even make noise and run them off, right? And so these, you know, they're making all kinds of things that protect, you know, your packages when they come to your door stoop, right? But praise God that God is protecting us. God is protecting these 144,000, right? And nothing is going to happen to them. As I said about the two witnesses, nothing is going to happen to them until God's get ready. God gets ready for something to happen to them, all right? And so notice the other thing, Revelation 9:4, that these individuals are protected from the plague. Revelation 9:4, and it was commanded these demons that came out of the pit, it says that they should not hurt anything into the earth, and especially those who have the seal of God in their forehead, right? You couldn't touch the ones that had the seal of God in their forehead. And then even in Revelation 11, where we read about the two witnesses, and it says that that they were protected, and they and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast came out of the pit and shall make war against them. So these 144,000 are sealed. That means they are owned by God, they're protected by God, they're protected from the plagues, and they are protected from persecution. I tell you what, how can you lose with the stuff God uses, right? That when you're on God's side, you're on the winning side. You know, it may seem like you are you might lose some battles. Saints, you might lose some battles, but you're not gonna lose the war. You know, you might lose the everyday battle. Maybe you might get in the flesh. Maybe you might get in, get a little attitude, a little temper. You might say something that you shouldn't have said, acted untowards. But the fact of the matter is that we might lose some battles along the way, but we are not going to lose the war, because God is going to make sure of that. As we move on, we see the sealing of the people in Revelation 7, verses 4 through 8. Now, this is very important. All right. This is very, 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 very important. So if you have your Bibles and want to open to Revelation 7, 4 through 8, you can follow along. But it says here, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all, look at this now, okay, of all the tribes of Israel. Very important, right? Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. All right, so that's very important, because these 144,000 witnesses will be Jewish believers. They will not be Gentiles. The scripture very clearly says that they are of the tribe of Israel. And then it goes on to list the 12 tribes that they are from. So now, even though the tribes have basically lost their identity, when it comes time for them to minister during the tribulation, you know, God in his great wisdom will be able to identify them and bring them back according to their tribes. And, you know, there's actually documentation throughout the world where they can identify, you know, who is from which tribe. There are, you know, actually people living in Africa, you know, Hebrews, Jewish people living in Africa who are part of these 12 tribes. So somehow, some way, God is going to bring them all back together, and they will be sealed, or as Stevie Wonder said, what? Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours, right? They're going to come to the doorstep of God, and they're going to say, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Amen. All right, if I could sing it, you know I sing it. No, I wouldn't sing it. But these 144,000 will be sealed Jewish believers from the 12 tribes of Israel for the express purpose of witnessing during the tribulation. Now, just to point out, in Revelation, the tribe of Dan is missing. You notice, now, if you would look back, look at Revelation 7-8, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Okay, well, Joseph, when you look at it, he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph, in other places, we see that his sons, we see in verse 6, his son Manasseh was added. Okay. So as we look at these tribes, we see the tribe of Dan is missing. And why is the tribe of Dan missing? Well, some people believe that the tribe of Dan was the first tribe to go into idolatry, as we, read about the 12 tribes, that they were, and then, what did God indict Israel for over and over again? It was for their idolatry. And so some people believe that the tribe of Dan, the reason that they're missing is because they were the first tribe to go into idolatry. And then other people speculate, which if you believe that, which I don't believe this, if you believe the Antichrist is Jewish, which I don't believe, I believe the Antichrist is gonna be a Gentile. But some people believe the Antichrist is gonna be Jewish. And so they say that the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. So those are two reasons why Dan might possibly be missing from this list right here. So I just thought I would bring that out, because some of you who read, and I say, well, I thought, where's the tribe of Dan at? It's not there. So, there's a couple reasons why the tribe of Dan might be missing. All right. So let's look at the praise for the sealing. The praise for the sealing. In verse 9, and it says, after this, behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, in all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sitteth on the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, about the elders and the four living creatures. They fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and honor and thanksgiving and honor and power might be unto our God forever and ever. And so we see, after these 144,000 were sealed, there was praise that took place around the throne. The ancient prophet Habakkuk said, in wrath, remember mercy. The fact that God will seal 144,000 for the purpose of witnessing only goes to show that in the midst of judgment, God will show mercy. As a result of the witnessing of the 144,000, a great multitude of people of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, they will be saved.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored, and tune in next time for the conclusion of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Jewish Evangelists, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the 144,000 Jewish Evangelists. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the 144,000 Jewish Evangelists from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.